Volume 51, Number 1 of For the Strength of Youth for January 2021. Contents. Welcome by the First Presidency. The Great Cause of the Restoration by President M. Russell Ballard. Mushroom Scholarship. Joseph Smith, My Prophet. An Answer for Oliver. The Doctrine and Covenants, An Overview. Learning the Language of the Spirit. A Great Work. Great Work 2021 Youth Theme Song. Also inside, Line Upon Line, Youth Theme Poster, Firm Foundations, Fun Stop, Questions and Answers, Last Word, and People from Church History. End of contents. Read by Wes Nelson.
A message from the First Presidency. Our dear young brothers and sisters, we are grateful to introduce you to this new magazine for youth of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, For the Strength of Youth. We are thankful for your goodness and strength as the youth of the church today. You truly are the hope of Israel. It is our sincere desire that this new publication will help you remain strong and close to your Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord has a great work for you and your generation. To help you, this magazine will provide timely teachings of modern prophets and apostles who love you. As you study the Scriptures, using the Church's Come Follow Me resources for living and learning the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can also look to this magazine for additional knowledge, insights, and inspiration. For the first time, this separate publication just for youth is available in different countries and languages. We hope this will bring a spirit of worldwide belonging and unity, and that you will gain strength from testimonies and experiences shared by other youth from throughout the world. The name of this magazine reflects our confidence in your strength as the youth of the church. We testify that true joy comes through our faith in Jesus Christ, His gospel, and His restored church. Sincerely, the First Presidency. End of A Message from the First Presidency, read by Dwayne Case.
The Great Cause of the Restoration by President M. Russell Ballard, Acting President of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. The work Joseph and Hiram Smith started, along with so many other faithful people, continues in the church today. When young Joseph Smith went to the woods to pray, he experienced a wondrous vision, known today as the First Vision. In this vision, the Savior told Joseph that his sins were forgiven. He also answered Joseph's question and said that none of the churches at the time were acknowledged of God as His church and kingdom. At the same time, Joseph recalled, I received a promise that the fullness of the gospel should, at some future time, be made known unto me. Following this glorious vision, Joseph emerged from the sacred grove to begin his preparation to become a prophet of God. Moroni and the Book of Mormon. 3 years later, in 1823, the heavens opened again as part of the continuing restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the last days. An angel named Moroni appeared to him and said that God had a work for him to do, and that there was a book deposited written upon gold plates that contained the fullness of the everlasting gospel. Eventually, Joseph obtained, translated, and published the ancient record known today as the Book of Mormon. Faithful Brothers. Joseph's brother Hiram was always Joseph's constant supporter. During their lives, Joseph and Hiram faced mobs and persecution together. For example, they languished in the most wretched conditions in the Liberty Jail in Missouri for 5 months during the cold winter of 1838 and 1839. In the face of persecution, Hiram exhibited faith in the Lord's promises, including a guarantee to escape his enemies if he so chose. In June 1844, Hiram was presented the choice to live or to lay down his life to glorify God and to seal his testimony with his blood, side by side together with his beloved brother Joseph. A week before they were murdered in cold blood, Joseph told Hiram to take his family and leave. I still feel great emotion as I remember Hiram's reply, "Joseph, I can't leave you." So Joseph and Hiram went to Carthage, where they became martyrs for Christ's cause and name. In life, they were not divided, and in death, they were not separated. A call to action. We should always remember the price Joseph and Hiram Smith paid, along with so many other faithful men, women, and children, to establish the church, so you and I could enjoy the many blessings and all of these revealed truths we have today. Their faithfulness should never be forgotten. Before his death in 1844, Joseph wrote a spirited letter to the saints. It was a call to action, which continues in the church today. "Brethren and sisters, shall we not go on in so great a cause? Go forward and not backward. Courage, brethren and sisters, and on to the victory. Let us therefore, as a church and a people, and as Latter-day Saints, offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Consider what offering you will present to the Lord in righteousness in the coming days. Be courageous. Share it with someone you trust. And most important, please take the time to do it. I know that the Savior is pleased when we present Him an offering from our hearts in righteousness, just as He was pleased with the faithful offering of those remarkable brothers, Joseph and Hiram Smith, and all other faithful saints." End of the article, "The Great Cause of the Restoration," by President M. Russell Ballard, Acting President of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Read by Van Farnworth.
Mushroom Scholarship by June Horty. What lessons could I learn from something as yucky as mushrooms? I don't like mushrooms. That smell and texture, I don't like them at all. But my parents began cultivating mushrooms when I was a child, so we ate them at meals every day. During the harvest season, I would help my parents late into the night. I would measure 200 grams of mushrooms, pack them in a bag, and press the seal on the package. I remember having fun while talking with my family. It was almost like having a family home evening every day. It also provided income for the family, so we had to help out. But there were two downsides. First, one of my favorite television programs was on at the time we had to work, so I couldn't watch it. And second, by the time I finished work, my hands would be black from the mushrooms, and it was hard to get rid of the color and smell with soap. When I was a child, I sometimes complained about why I had to help so much every day. The mushrooms provided a good income for a while, but eventually the prices fell as the number of mushroom farmers increased, and my parents stopped growing mushrooms. I thought that they had only stopped because the prices fell, but I learned a fact that surprised me when I graduated from college. My parents had started cultivating mushrooms to save college funds for me and my brothers. They had only stopped because they'd reached their target amount. When I found out, I felt ashamed of ever complaining. I hadn't known that I had been working for my future college expenses, and on top of that, my family had helped me. I had complained over and over without knowing that we grew the mushrooms for my own scholarship. My complaining was like Laman and Lemuel's in 1 Nephi 2:12. Quote, "And thus Laman and Lemuel did murmur, because they knew not the dealings of that God who had created them." Close quote. I am so glad the Lord knows me well and blessed me despite my complaining. I don't think I'll ever like eating mushrooms. But if there were no mushrooms, I would actually be a little sad, because I wouldn't have the opportunity to remember those experiences with my family. Because of them, I learned to value my blessings and trust in the Lord's plan, and not to complain. So even though I dislike mushrooms, I now appreciate them. They are an important symbol for me to remember my family bonds. The author lives in Shinagawa City, Japan. Read by Enzo Patello.
Joseph Smith, My Prophet, by David A. Edwards, Church Magazines. He's your prophet, too. You can study his teachings this year to make him more so. Something President Russell M. Nelson said in the April 2020 General Conference struck a chord with me. Regardless of where you live or what your circumstances are, the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, and God's prophet Joseph Smith is your prophet. Ever since I was young, that's how I've felt. Joseph Smith is my prophet. More than anyone, this prophet of the Restoration has helped me come to know Jesus Christ and his gospel. I studied the revelations in the Doctrine and Covenants, and when I was a teenager, my dad gave me a book of the prophet Joseph Smith's teachings, and I ate it up. Studying those teachings became a major building block of my testimony of the restored gospel. I've thought since then, what was it about the teachings of Joseph Smith that made such an impression on me? What allowed the Spirit to witness so strongly to me of their truth? I'd say it was three things. One, he knew what he knew and he stated it boldly. Two, he had a way of clearly explaining truths he had learned through revelation. And three, his character and personality always shone through. He knew what he knew, and he stated it boldly. Ever since the first vision, Joseph Smith faced persecution for sharing what he learned through revelation. But he knew he couldn't back down from it. Why persecute me for telling the truth? I have actually seen a vision. And who am I that I can withstand God? Or why does the world think to make me deny what I have actually seen? For I had seen a vision. I knew it. And I knew that God knew it. And I could not deny it. Neither dared I do it. Though he knew that he would invite more persecution and hatred by doing so, Joseph Smith boldly declared the truths he learned from God for the rest of his life. Example. Though most people in the Christian world believed that man was created by God out of nothing, Joseph Smith confidently taught something different. Man was also in the beginning with God. Intelligence, or the light of truth, was not created or made, neither indeed can be. From Doctrine and Covenants 93, verse 29. The soul, the mind of man, the immortal spirit, where did it come from? All learned men and doctors of divinity say that God created it in the beginning. But it is not so. The very idea lessens man, in my estimation. I do not believe the doctrine. I know better. Hear it, all ye ends of the world, for God has told me so. And if you don't believe me, it will not make the truth without effect. From Teachings of the Presidents of the Church, Joseph Smith, page 209. He explained truths clearly. Joseph Smith sometimes hinted that he knew a great deal more of God's mysteries than he could share with the world. But when he taught, he had a way of making the truths of God plain and simple. Example. From the first vision onward, Joseph Smith learned many truths about the nature of God, the Eternal Father. And in his teachings, he explained the significance of these truths. For instance, he said, "If men do not comprehend the character of God, they do not comprehend themselves." That's a pretty clear statement that gets at the heart of who God is, who we are, what our relationship to Him is, and what our potential is. He followed that up with this statement, "God Himself was once as we are now, and is an exalted man." Even clearer. And then he taught this, "God Himself, finding He was in the midst of spirits and glory, because He was more intelligent, saw proper to institute laws whereby the rest could have a privilege to advance like Himself." Joseph Smith expressed something here that's fundamental to Heavenly Father's plan. Heavenly Father wants us to become like Him. His character and personality shine through. The way Joseph Smith expressed himself gives us an idea of who he was and what he was like as a person as well as a prophet. This is important because connecting with people somehow makes connecting with ideas easier. Joseph's character shines through in his teachings. Example: though Joseph Smith was generally cheerful by nature, when it came to what the Lord commanded, he didn't treat it lightly. He had learned by experience what the consequence of straying from such commandments might be. I find this blend of a light-hearted nature and serious-minded discipleship intriguing, and personally, I can identify with it. Now, as the prophet of the Restoration, Joseph Smith was commanded to teach God's revealed truths, many of which were new to everyone. Joseph had to try to help people learn these new truths, but sometimes it was frustrating. He once said, "There has been a great difficulty in getting anything into the heads of this generation. It has been like splitting hemlock knots with a corn dodger, or a piece of cornbread, for a wedge, and a pumpkin for a beetle, a wooden mallet. Even the saints are slow to understand." This was a serious subject for Joseph Smith. There must have been so much that he wanted people to know and understand and embrace and live, and they just wouldn't. But a little homespun analogy from the 19th century U.S. frontier paints an amusing picture and gives us a small window into Joseph Smith's personality. There are many other aspects of Joseph Smith's character that shine through in his teachings. For instance, his love of friends. "My heart shall love those, and my hands shall toil for those who love and toil for me, and shall ever be found faithful to my friends." Or his kindness and generosity. Once when men were saying how sorry they felt for a man whose house had burned down, Joseph immediately said, "I feel sorry for this brother to the amount of $5. How much do you all feel sorry?" Then there's his love of family, integrity, humility, confidence, justice and fairness, faith amid trials and suffering. It's all there, expressed alongside eternal truths and principles to live by. He is my prophet. Joseph Smith still gets attacked and criticized today, of course, but like he said, "I never told you I was perfect, but there is no error in the revelations which I have taught." We can bear a bold witness of the fact that he was a prophet. I have found it easy to testify of Joseph Smith, not because there's an easy answer to all of the questions people might pose about him, but because I have studied his revelations and prophetic teachings and felt the Holy Ghost testifying that they're true. It's like Joseph himself once said, "I can taste the principles of eternal life, and so can you. They are given to me by the revelations of Jesus Christ, and I know that when I tell you these words of eternal life as they are given to me, you taste them, and I know that you believe them. You say honey is sweet, and so do I. I can also taste the spirit of eternal life. I know that it is good. And when I tell you of these things which were given me by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you are bound to receive them as sweet and rejoice more and more. I've tasted that sweetness. It was shared with me by my prophet, Joseph Smith. And like President Nelson said, he's your prophet too. You can make a serious study of his life and teachings this year with Come Follow Me. Then you can bear witness of the sweet truths he has helped you taste. End of the article. Joseph Smith, My Prophet. Read by Scott Christopher.
An Answer for Oliver. Written by Eric B. Murdoch. Illustrated by Lance Fry. Oliver Cowdery came to stay at Joseph Sr. and Lucy Mack Smith's home while he taught school near their farm. Oliver heard about their son Joseph and the gold plates. He wanted to know more. Oliver was fascinated to learn how God gave Joseph the power to translate the gold plates. One day, as he sat talking with Joseph Smith Sr. and Lucy Mack Smith, he said,
"I want to help with the translation. Once school is over, I will go and help Joseph."
"You should pray and ask the Lord if that is right for you," responded Joseph Smith Sr.
That night,
Oliver prayed and asked the Lord what he should do. Oliver felt peace when he prayed about helping Joseph translate. Soon, Oliver set out to meet Joseph Smith. He traveled with Joseph's brother, Samuel. After much travel, he and Samuel finally arrived at the house of Joseph Smith, Jr.
Joseph, I'm here to help. I can be your scribe.
Thank you. I'm grateful for your help,
said Joseph. Joseph and Oliver start translating. This experience thrilled Oliver, but he still had questions. One day, Joseph received a revelation for Oliver, reminding him of the answer to his prayer.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you desire a further witness, cast your mind upon the night that you cried unto me in your heart, that you might know concerning the truth of these things. Did I not speak peace to your mind concerning the matter? What greater witness can you have than from God?
Dictated Joseph Smith.
I prayed to know if I should come and help you, and I felt peace. No one could have known about this except God.
Oliver knew for sure that the work was true. He and Joseph finished the translation that became the Book of Mormon. Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles said, "Never forget, question, or ignore personal, sacred spiritual experiences. The adversary's design is to distract us from spiritual witnesses, while the Lord's desire is to enlighten and engage us in His work."
The Doctrine and Covenants, an Overview by Annalise Gardner, Church Magazines. What is it? The Doctrine and Covenants is a collection of modern revelations from God received mainly through the prophet Joseph Smith. Many of these revelations were given in answer to questions that Joseph and other early members of the church asked of God. Why was the Doctrine and Covenants made? During the early days of the church, there were only a few handwritten copies of these revelations. In 1831, church leaders decided to print and publish the revelations in a Book of Commandments. At a November 1831 conference discussing the Book of Commandments, Joseph received the revelation that is now Section 1, the preface to the Doctrine and Covenants. The Doctrine. The first collection of revelations was called the Book of Commandments. Later collections were called the Doctrine and Covenants because they added a series of lectures on the doctrine of the church, known as the Doctrine for short, now called the Lectures on Faith. Since the 1921 edition, the Lectures on Faith were no longer included, but the title Doctrine and Covenants stayed the same. The Covenants. The remainder of the book contained revelations received by Joseph Smith. This portion was known as the Covenants and Commandments of the Lord, or Covenants for short. The early saints used covenants or commandments to refer to these revelations received by the prophet in order to tell them apart from Joseph Smith's other writings, such as inspired sermons and his translations of the Bible. Why is the Doctrine and Covenants important today? The Doctrine and Covenants contains revelations from Jesus Christ to his people. It teaches us that God knows each of us by name, that He hears our prayers and answers our questions, and that God still speaks today. It also teaches valuable doctrine about the plan of salvation and gives us additional insight into Jesus Christ's atonement. It provides comfort by illustrating how God loves us and still calls us to come to Him even when we make mistakes. Quick facts. Longest section, Section 124. 145 verses. Shortest sections, Section 13, 116, and 120, one verse each. 138 sections and two official declarations. The main voice in the Doctrine and Covenants is Jesus Christ. Unlike other scriptures, it is not translated from ancient documents. The majority of revelations in the book were received by the prophet Joseph Smith. Others were received by Brigham Young, Section 136, and Joseph F. Smith, Section 138, as well as Wilford Woodruff, Official Declaration 1, and Spencer W. Kimball, Official Declaration 2. A timeline. 1823, first revelation recorded, Section 2. 1833, the Book of Commandments was published, few copies survived a mob attack on the printing press. Two teens, Mary Elizabeth and Caroline Amelia Rollins, saved as many pages as they could and hid from the mob in a cornfield. 1835, the first widely printed edition. It had additional revelations and changed the title to The Doctrine and Covenants. 1844, printed shortly after Joseph Smith's martyrdom. The edition added revelations plus section 135. 1847, Brigham Young received instructions on how to move the saints west, section 136. 1876, this edition added 26 new sections and was the first edition to divide sections into verses. 1890, Wilford Woodruff issues the Manifesto, which led to the end of plural marriage in the church. See Official Declaration 1. 1918, Joseph F. Smith shares his vision of the spirit world, section 138. 1921, from this edition onward, the lectures on faith were no longer included. 1978, Spencer W. Kimball received the revelation on the priesthood that became Official Declaration 2. 1981, this edition standardized headings and added cross-references, along with a few more revelations. 2013, this edition updated the historical information in headings. Read by Amanda Saria.
Learning the language of the Spirit. Revelation is like a language we each need to learn. By Sam Lofgren, Church Magazines. Learning a new language can be tough work. If you've ever had a language class in school or have tried to learn a language on your own, you might know this from experience. It takes hard work and dedication. I learned Spanish on my mission, which was tough at first, but eventually, with the help of the Spirit, I got the hang of it. I like to think of Revelation as a kind of language, the language of the Spirit that we each need to learn during our life. President Russell M. Nelson has said, "In coming days, it will not be possible to survive spiritually without the guiding, directing, comforting, and constant influence of the Holy Ghost." When you think about it, learning a new language and learning the language of the Spirit have a lot in common. Take a look at the following similarities. They can really help you learn more about how to receive revelation through the language of the Spirit. Learning styles. When we're first learning a new language, different approaches work for different people to get things to stick. For me, studying grammar and writing things down really helped with learning Spanish. Other missionaries preferred to practice speaking with their companion. One approach may help more than another. Find what works best for you. We don't all feel or hear the Spirit in the same way either. Take my mom, for example. For a while when I was growing up, I was worried that I couldn't feel the Spirit because I never got promptings the way she did. She would always describe promptings coming as words to her mind. I never had this happen, so I thought I just couldn't feel the Spirit. But I've discovered with time that the Spirit communicates with me mostly through feelings or impressions rather than through words. Feelings of peace, joy, and love are typically associated with my experience of revelation. Just like with learning styles, one way of feeling the Spirit isn't better than another. We are each unique, so the Spirit communicates with each of us differently. In the Doctrine and Covenants, we can learn about all kinds of ways the Spirit can speak to us. He may enlighten our mind, speak peace to our mind, tell us in our mind and in our heart, or dwell in our heart, or we may feel a burning in our bosom, or feel that it is right, as well as many other ways. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 6, verses 15 and 23, section 8, verse 2, and section 9, verse 8. As we study the Scriptures and practice listening to the Spirit, we can recognize how He speaks to us. Ask for help. When you're learning a language, it can be really useful to get help from someone who knows the language. Books and other resources certainly help, but it speeds up the process to talk to someone who speaks the language. When we want to learn more about the Spirit, we can get extra help if we ask people we trust how they do it. family members, leaders, or friends. But most important is to ask Heavenly Father. We might ask Him for things like more opportunities to hear the Spirit, or for help recognizing when we receive promptings. If we are humble, ask Him to help us, and have faith that He will help us learn how to feel the Spirit, He will help us. Write things down. When you're learning a language, writing things down can be super helpful too. I kept a small notebook with me throughout the day to write down new vocabulary words I heard, and I would try to journal in Spanish each night so I could practice. We don't have perfect memories, so writing things down lets us go back to review. We've been invited by our leaders to write down spiritual impressions so we don't forget them. Writing such things down can help us with the Spirit in a couple of ways. One, it can help us remember promptings and feelings after time has passed. Maybe a past prompting will help you in the future, or it might just remind you that the Spirit really has spoken to you. Two, it is also a great way to keep track of how you have felt the Spirit in the past so you can recognize it better in the future. That way, you can start to identify the Spirit more clearly. Keep trying. And last but not least, don't give up. Even with the gift of tongues, it's very likely you won't learn a language perfectly overnight. As you keep practicing and working hard, it'll come. But you have to have faith and keep persevering. Learning to receive revelation and becoming more in tune with the Spirit really is a lifelong effort. I'm sure if you asked your parents or church leaders, they'd say that they're still working on it too. So don't be discouraged if it feels like it's taking a while. It's not just you. We all need time to learn a new language. So be patient, keep trying, and the Lord will be there to help you learn the language of the Spirit. Revelation will come. We will get promptings of the Spirit when we have done everything we can, when we are out in the sun working rather than sitting back in the shade praying for direction on the first step to take. So we do all we can. Then we wait upon the Lord for His revelation. He has His own timetable. President Dallin H. Oaks, First Counselor in the First Presidency. End of the article, Learning the Language of the Spirit. Revelation is like a language we each need to learn. By Sam Lofgren, Church Magazines. Read by Casey Wayman.
Lay the foundation. This year's theme helps you see your role in building up God's kingdom. Doctrine and Covenants, section 64, verses 33 through 34. 33. Wherefore, be not weary in well-doing, for ye are laying the foundation of a great work, and out of small things proceedeth that which is great. 34. Behold, the Lord requireth the heart and a willing mind, and the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land of Zion in these last days. Well-doing, doing good that inspires or motivates others to embrace and do good and noble things. Foundation, the bottom part of a building, bearing the load of the structure on top of it. Great work. Our great work is to help build up God's kingdom on earth, including the gathering of Israel. Out of small things, every little good thing you're doing is helping to build something big. Heart and a willing mind. The Lord needs us to devote our desires, thoughts, and feelings to His work. Eat the good of the land. From the Old Testament, meaning to thrive plentifully. Zion? Zion can mean the Lord's people, a place where the Lord's people dwell, or how the Lord's people live, pure in heart, living a celestial law. Read by Gene Nelson.
A great work. The Lord has invited you to join the greatest work on earth. 2021 Youth Theme, Doctrine and Covenants, Section 64, verses 33 and 34. By the Young Women and Young Men General Presidencies. You marvelous young women and young men are part of something wonderful. You are laying the foundation of a great work. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 64, verse 33. That work helps the Lord Jesus Christ carry out his mission as we participate in the gathering of Israel on both sides of the veil and the building of Zion. Joining the Youth Battalion. President Russell M. Nelson has invited each of you to join in that work as part of the Youth Battalion of the Lord. But what is a battalion? A battalion is a specialized unit designed to accomplish specific tasks together. That means you are part of a specialized unit to find and accomplish your part in the Lord's great work. When the prophet invited you to see the purpose of your lives with a focus on the gathering of Israel, your life started to look like Moses' life. Moses, who was raised as a prince of Egypt, had to flee for his life and later became content with his simple life tending sheep. But the Lord called on him and declared, "I have a work for thee." Moses chapter 1, verse 6. Our Father in heaven knew what Moses did not, that with God's help, Moses could be instrumental in rescuing a great nation. He could do anything. You can make a difference. You might wonder, "I am not Moses. Can I even make a difference in this world?" We have felt the same way at times, but we have been around long enough to know the answer is yes. We see ordinary youth every day who are choosing not to live ordinary lives. They are having a powerful influence on those around them by just quietly being true disciples of Jesus Christ. They are developing their talents and helping their families succeed. You are called by a prophet to lay the foundation of a great work. As we trust in Jesus Christ and seek to do his will, we make a difference. You are not alone in this. As you join in the Lord's battalion, you join a vast group of youth across the world. We stand beside you shoulder to shoulder along with your parents, leaders and friends, apostles and prophets, and the very angels of heaven, all striving to accomplish the work of the Lord together. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 88. Out of small things proceedeth that which is great. We will take it a little at a time. The Lord invites us to take small and simple steps as we embark in this great work. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 64, verse 33. Consistent, faithful actions will move us forward and invite us to reach out and help those around us. Some of these simple things can be tailored personally to you, since everyone's journey is not going to be exactly the same. Pray to know who you are and understand your personal role in God's plan. Pray to know what small and simple things you should do each day. You will likely have to get out of your comfort zone, but as you are willing to act on promptings you receive, you will be given more. As President Nelson recently taught, as we seek to be disciples of Jesus Christ, our efforts to hear him need to be ever more intentional. It takes conscious and consistent effort to fill our daily lives with his words, his teachings, his truths. The Lord will expand your abilities and increase your joy. As you seek revelation, the Lord will guide you to know how to use your individual talents and personality to serve and live the gospel. He will stretch your imagination, creativity, and capacity in ways you never would have thought possible. As you offer your willing heart and mind to the Lord, you will discover more friends and increased opportunities to serve. Your sense of identity and purpose will be strengthened, and you will find joy. We may sometimes feel content to settle and coast, but God has something else in store. Just as he had a great work for Moses, he has a great work for you. Be not weary. We have complete confidence in you, the Youth Battalion of the Lord. 2021 Youth Theme Resources. Posters and T-shirts. download graphics for posters and t-shirts. Keep reading. Follow Strive to Be on Instagram to read stories from other youth and share your own experiences. New music. Check out the 2021 youth theme song, A Great Work, along with the rest of the album. It's available in many languages. Keep reading. Find stories to inspire you to lay a foundation in the Gospel Living app and in For the Strength of Youth. End of the article, A Great Work, read by Kara McClellan.
Fun stop, immersed in numbers. People performing baptisms have to say specific words. Those words are found in Doctrine and Covenants section 20, but which verse? Do the following math using numbers from the scriptures to find out. A. Take the number of sections in the Doctrine and Covenants and subtract Joseph Smith's age when he received the first vision. See Joseph Smith History 1, verse 23. B. Take the result of A and divide it by the number of books in the Book of Mormon that are called Nephi. C. Take the result of B and multiply it by the number of times the angel Moroni visited Joseph Smith on the night of September 21st and 22nd, 1823. See Joseph Smith History 1, verses 30 through 47. D. Take the result of C and subtract the number of the tribes of Israel. See, for instance, Genesis chapter 49, verse 28. E. Take the result of D and subtract the age when a person may be baptized. Fun stop answers. Immersed in numbers. A was 138 minus 14 equals 124. B was 124 divided by 4 equals 31. C was 31 times 3 equals 93. D was 93 minus 12 equals 81. E was 81 minus 8 equals 73. The answer is Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 73.
A great work. Wherefore, be not weary in well-doing, for ye are laying the foundation of a great work, and out of small things proceedeth that which is great. Behold, the Lord requireth the heart and a willing mind. Doctrine and Covenants, section 64, verses 33 through 34. Read by Rena Nelson.
One night, I was hanging out with a group of friends. We were talking and they started gossiping about my other friends who weren't present. I felt uncomfortable about what they were saying. I then got a prompting from the Spirit that I should stand up for what I believe. Without further hesitation, I told them I didn't feel very comfortable about what they were saying and asked if they would not gossip when I was around. They said it's just a part of life and it didn't matter. Without getting upset about it, I listened to their point and then explained what I believe. Then I got up and walked away. My experience that night made me think about what Joseph Smith went through. When Joseph Smith retrieved the gold plates, he experienced a lot of persecution. No matter how much persecution there was, Joseph Smith still stood tall and didn't falter. God was with Joseph Smith and helped him, and I knew that God was with me too when I stood for what was right. I did lose a couple friends that night for defending my beliefs, and I was sad about that, but I felt peace and comfort for doing what was right. A little later, one of my friends thanked me for what I had said. Because of that, I gained a friendship back that was stronger than it was before. Andrew F., Utah, USA.
You and I have enough light to share right now. We can light the next step to help someone draw nearer to Jesus Christ, and then the next step and the next. Sister Bonnie H. Corden, Young Woman General President, April 2020, General Conference, Ensign Early Ahona, May 2020, page 80.
End of Defending My Beliefs, read by Chloe and Enzo Patello.
Questions and answers. Note, responses are intended for help and perspective, not as official pronouncements of church doctrine. Question. All my friends play teen-rated video games, but I choose not to. Are teen-rated games okay?
Representatives of Jesus Christ. It is important to remember that we have taken Jesus Christ's name upon us, so we are representatives of Him. In everything we do, we should ask ourselves if we are acting as He would and if we are bringing ourselves closer to Him. Brandon K., age 17, Ohio, USA.
Standards of the world. I also choose not to play teen-rated games. Some of them can be fun, but you never know what could happen. I play fun games with my family, and I feel better about not playing teen-rated games. The standards the world has today are not equal to God's standards, and I want to be like Him. Peyton D., 13, Nevada, USA.
Listen to the Spirit. Do the video games have any profanity or immodesty? We should try to avoid these, because these things drive away the Spirit. Violence can also drive away the Spirit. Carefully and prayerfully consider whether or not you can feel the Spirit in your life when you are playing these games regularly. Mariana B., 18, Washington, USA.
Good, better, best. We should remember that there are always good, better, and best things we can be watching, playing, and listening to. Even if there are worse things we could be doing, there are probably more wholesome and uplifting things we could be doing too. Ash H., 17, Virginia, USA.
How would the Savior feel? When choosing entertainment, I ask myself if the Savior would feel comfortable watching or playing with me. If the answer is no, then I don't use that entertainment, regardless of its rating. There are many good games that can be fun and challenging and still invite the Spirit to be with us. Brigitte D., California, USA.
Response from For the Strength of Youth. Of course, it is good to view wholesome entertainment or to obtain interesting information, but not everything of that sort is worth the portion of our life we give to obtain it. Some things are better and others are best. President Dallin H. Oaks, First Counselor in the First Presidency, October 2007 General Conference, Ensign Orleahona, November 2007, page 105. Question. People tell me it's arrogant to say we're the only true church. What should I tell them? Response from For the Strength of Youth. The Lord Himself said to Joseph Smith that this church is the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, with which I, the Lord, am well pleased, speaking unto the church collectively and not individually. Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 30. This statement certainly does not mean that we're better than anyone else, but it does mean that this is Jesus Christ's church. He leads it, He restored it, and He gave it His authority. Because of this, there are certain things that only this church can offer, such as prophets and apostles, temple ordinances and covenants, and the Book of Mormon. We're grateful for these things, and we want to share them with others out of genuine love, not because we want to be right or grow the church. While we can boldly and confidently testify of the church, we should never be arrogant toward others, nor disrespect their beliefs. The prophet Joseph Smith once said, "We don't ask any people to throw away any good they have got. We only ask them to come and get more." Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Joseph Smith, 2007, page 155. What do you think? I'm 16 and everyone around me is in a relationship and I'm not. I feel left out. What should I do? Send your answer and photo by February 15th, 2021. Go to ftsoychurchofjesuschrist.org. Click Submit Your Work, sign in with your church account, and then select For the Strength of Youth under Choose Magazine. Click Add File to select your file and photos, and then click Submit to upload and send us your file. Or send an email to ftsoy@churchofjesuschrist.org. End of Questions and Answers.
Last Word. Hear, Hearken, and Heed. By President Russell M. Nelson, President of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. From an April 2020 General Conference address, the very first word in the Doctrine and Covenants is hearken. See Doctrine and Covenants, Section 1, Verse 1. It means to listen with the intent to obey. To hearken means to hear Him, to hear what the Savior says, and then to heed His counsel. In those two words, hear Him, God gives us the pattern for success, happiness, and joy in this life. We are to hear the words of the Lord, hearken to them, and heed what He has told us. Where can we go to hear Him? We can go to the Scriptures. We can also hear Him in the temple. We also hear Him more clearly as we refine our ability to recognize the whisperings of the Holy Ghost. And finally, we hear Him as we heed the words of prophets, seers, and revelators. What will happen as you more intentionally hear, hearken, and heed what the Savior has said and what He is saying now through His prophets? I promise you that you will be blessed with additional power to deal with temptation, struggles, and weakness. I promise miracles in your family relationships and daily work. And I promise that your capacity to feel joy will increase even if turbulence increases in your life. In your life, as President Russell M. Nelson taught, we hearken when we hear and follow the teachings we receive from the Lord and His servants. What can you do to better hearken to the words of the Lord in your life? End of the article, Hear, Hearken, and Heed, by President Russell M. Nelson, President of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Read by Dwayne Case.
Joseph Smith, Jr., 1805 to 1844. He had 11 children. Owned a dog named Major. As a youth, his heartfelt prayer led to the first vision, the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, and the ongoing restoration. He was the first president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.